Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside FM allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. Welcome to the City That Never Sleeps podcast. I'm Josh and I'm joined by my co-host Alex. I'm not in my normal setup, so if you hear any background noise or a different mic, this is because I'm recording on my computer and not my microphone. So it is what it is, but the Nets go down in a Game 7 loss on home court in the Barclays Center. Again, and a really extremely good crowd compared to the Garden. Alex, I'll have to give your Nets fans credit. They packed that place and they kept it really loud, but Nets go down 4-3 in the series to the Bucks. I'm happy. That means season one out of, what is it, three, failure. And, you know, every season that ticks by while Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden are in a Brooklyn Nets uniform, that they don't make the finals or win the finals, which is ultimately the goal of bringing three superstars together, is a loss. And a loss it was. So I'm happy. I know Alex is in depression mode, as he'll allude on in a minute, but that's just my original thoughts. I mean, to kind of get into it a little bit, the Bucks, they came back. We recorded this podcast when the Nets were up 2-1, and it became a Nets 2-0 lead, and obviously the Kyrie injury really hurt them, and I think throughout the whole series that we saw James Harden, he wasn't 100%, but you still got to give the Bucks credit. They fought back. Brooklyn took a 3-2 lead. They came home. They tied it up at 3-3, forced it to a Game 7, and won on the home floor of the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously, Chris Middleton and Giannis being the two superstars. Middleton, I think, scored a total of 38 at home in Game 6 to tie the series. And then you have, in the final Game 7, Giannis with 40. And then you have Kevin Durant saving the Nets up to the point of overtime, with a total of 48 points. So I guess I'll give it to my other co-host, Alex, who is the Nets fan on this podcast. You're probably going to want to hear from him more than you heard from me for this first 2 minutes of this podcast. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Not great, but, you know, it's been a few days now since it actually happened, luckily. Otherwise, I would have just sat in silence here. It's tough, right? I mean, I was joking before we even press record with Josh that, you know, we had 1.5 superstars, which it kind of sounds ironic. But James Harden, obviously, with his hamstring injury, really limited us because teams knew that he would not be able to go and drive into the paint. And that really takes a big part of his game out of it. As we got to Game 7, we did see a bit more of that. But obviously, he's trying to keep himself healthy and in a good position. So I don't blame him, and I think he did a phenomenal job for what he could do with his injury. The Kyrie injury really hurt us badly. I think, he's another player who can make these big shots during big moments, who can clutch up. And what we found out about the Nets is that, obviously, you can't really count James Harden. James Harden did make that clutch bank three in overtime or towards the end of the game. And so you have to say that he was pretty clutch considering what happened to him. But Kevin Durant, man, probably averaging, I don't know what it was during the exact playoffs, but it must be upwards of like 35 points a game. and he was just phenomenal with the game tying two that could have been a three if he wasn't size 18, which is ridiculous considering how large his feet is, feet are. And it's crazy to think that if his, you know, he was a few shoe sizes smaller, that wouldn't have been called as a two, and it would have been a three, and the Nets would be in the Eastern Conference Finals. But, you know, you can't blame Kevin Durant, and PJ Tucker did a good job defending him throughout the series. But, you know, you can't – eventually greatness takes over. Yeah, he averaged 34.3 points per game in the Bucks series with 9.3 – or in the playoffs, excuse me, and 9.3 rebounds and 4.5 assists in 12 games in the playoffs. So he truly put up some staggering numbers. And I bet you if we had the Bucks game specifically, it would be even more because he was absolutely phenomenal, especially in these last few games. And it was just the teammates around him that weren't able to clutch up. Joe Harris obviously has been taking the heat of the blame in the media. He struggles under pressure quite clearly. What can you really do about it at this point? He's getting paid upwards of $20 million a year to be a clutch three-point shooter, or maybe not clutch, obviously, but at least a very good three-point shooter, and that should hopefully translate to the playoffs where you're seeing the other good three-point shooters who do produce in the playoffs. But it was really disappointing, his performance throughout, and he missed a clutch three that in the end of Game 7. He was wide open. And that could have really sealed the deal for the Nets, but he missed it, and that was a big problem. Going to the overtime, the last possession for the Nets, you know, Kevin Durant going up the court, Steve Nash, he has a timeout available. He chooses or elects not to take it. That's definitely something. I mean, in hindsight, right, Kevin Durant makes a three. No one's complaining about Steve Nash's coaching, right? But the fact that he didn't score there and was airballing it, again, people who clowned him for airballing at the end, I mean, I don't even know what to tell them. But yeah, you know, what are you supposed to do about that? Kevin Durant was absolutely phenomenal. And it's going to be a tough loss for sure. And Giannis on the opposing side, he was very good in the playoffs as well. He averaged less than KD. He had 29 points a game, roughly, and 13.5 rebounds and 5 assists in the 11 games that they played. Obviously, they sweep Miami, so they played less games in that first series. But Giannis looked gassed, and I mean, Kevin Durant, I believe, played 55 minutes, including overtime. He played every single minute of the game. I know Giannis played 52 minutes. Chris Middleton and James Harden played 55 as well. So I think you're looking at a tired Kevin Durant in, you know, in the overtime that wasn't able to produce, and you can't exactly blame him when he's, you know, having to score pretty much every point for the Nets, or at least that's how it felt like throughout the entire 48 minutes of the first four quarters. So it's just a really difficult loss. I mean, if you're looking at some of the issues that were clear, a big man, right? We need a big man, not named DeAndre Jordan, not named Nick Claxton, someone who can defend someone like Giannis, someone who can play up against some of these bigger centers that we have in the league, especially in the Eastern Conference, right? Giannis is there and Joel Embiid. So those are two players that we need an answer to and a solution to, because even if we made it through, you're looking at Joel Embiid. Obviously, they didn't end up making it through, but you're looking at players like Joel Embiid who could be a big problem for the Nets. And you're obviously looking at Nikola Jokic, too, in the Western Conference, if you're looking for a player, a big man, and Anthony Davis as well. So you're looking at solutions to that, and we just don't have one. So I think people have been talking about flipping Joe Harris, maybe a couple other assets for a big man. I don't know what Joe Harris's value is at the moment, though. I think he's on a big contract, and if he's not able to clutch up with his three-pointers in the playoffs, what value does he have in the trade market? So I'm not sure exactly what kind of big man you would be looking for. I don't know exactly who would be available, but yeah, that's definitely a big need for the Nets going into the offseason. There's definitely a lot of key players whose contracts are up here, and we have to see who we're going to bring back and who are not. Blake Griffin, Bruce Brown, the two, I think, for me, key players that we kind of have to bring back. But it sounds like Bruce Brown obviously had his breakout season this year, is asking for upwards of $9 million a year, which with the Nets' current cap situation could be very difficult. So maybe another kind of encouragement for the Nets to get rid of Joe Harris's contract, save some money, and be able to re-sign some of the other players who are very crucial to this team.
You have Giannis in this playoffs, and I do have to mention just real quick, before I move to like player stats and stuff like that. As a neutral fan, really fun game to watch, especially in the late fourth quarter aspect and overtime. As much as I do clown the Nets for the loss, it was a really fun, enjoyable game to be next to a Nets fan. It was pretty funny. A neighbor of ours was over for the game, and he was a Nets fan, so to watch that with him, and yeah. Completely agree, Alex. As I read Joe Harris's stats, he averaged about 11 points, you know, about 3.5 rebounds and 1.5 assists in the 12 games in these playoffs. And, I mean, it's a third. I get it. I guess he was open more. You expect more from Joe Harris. But, again, this is a guy who's, what, the third, fourth player you rely on. I would say it's, you know, Kyrie, one, if he was. So, fine. So, we'll talk about Game 7 in that way. It's like Kevin Durant 1, Kevin Durant 1, James Harden 2, and then maybe Joe Harris 3, like Jeff Green, I don't really know who you're relying on. When it comes to Giannis averaged about 28.8 points, 13.5 rebounds, and 5 assists in the 11 games in the 2021 playoffs. So, I mean, I guess that was a lot of points from Giannis. Obviously, he's a big effort for this team as well. But I guess, you know, I can go on to the I think that's it for the Nets stuff. I mean, Alex, do you have anything else to talk about when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets and their series, obviously, this 4-3 loss?
I think that's it for this series. I mean, I don't really know what else to say. You know, we're going to have more off-season talk, obviously, for the Knicks and the Nets, and we'll get more into the Nets now that they're officially bounced out of the playoffs. But, hopefully some more good NBA basketball as the Eastern Conference Final, the Western Conference Final. If anything interesting happens with those towards the end of the series, at least we'll definitely touch on that as well.
And the Olympics, Alex. You got to talk about the Olympics. We have Team USA is going to include James Harden and Kevin Durant, which was announced today. Kevin Durant, I think, was announced a little bit ago. Now James Harden adding to the mix there. And, Alex, you talked enough about your Brooklyn Nets. We've been about 10 minutes on this topic, and that's it. That's all you get for your Game 7, as good of a game as it was. Nets did not move on, so we go to the Knicks, and that is, I'm getting a little bit into the free agency a little bit, because as Knicks fans know, we've been out of this for a little bit already, so we're already kind of used to this stuff. The Knicks have some players that are going to be, you know, that have been on their last years of their contract, and this is a big year to either bring in some stars or let go of some stars, or not some stars, but some Knicks players, I'll say. And I'm going to play a little bit of a game, I guess. I'll give the question up to Alex, too, because, of course, he has enough Knicks knowledge to give an answer. But this is the Knicks Keep or Go show. I don't know. Just a little game here. Basically, we're just going to say keep or go for the Knicks players who are on their expiring contracts. And going into this, I can't believe that the Knicks are still paying the 36-year-old Joakim Noah until the end of the 2022 season, which is next season, which is crazy that we're still paying that guy. But anyway, first player we will start out with, Alex, we can, you know, go on to both of this. Both Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson are going on to their last years of their contract. Now, both of these players are old. One is better than the other, obviously. Two different positions. One of them's a center, one of them's a point guard. I'm going to go keep Derrick Rose and go for Taj Gibson. Although, if Taj Gibson is staying in the Knicks system, I think that's okay because he is a player that was brought back this season who was on the Knicks last year and is right up the Tom Thibodeau's alley for his system. He's 6'9 and 35 years old. So the age is a bit of a factor. Obviously, Derrick Rose is up there as well. I'm trying to find his age at the moment, which is 32. So I would keep Derrick Rose, get rid of Taj Gibson. What are your thoughts on that, Alex?
Gibson has to go. He's a little bit too old. He has a good work rate. He definitely works hard for the team. I think he's a good teammate, but he's a little short for a center. And, I mean, as a Nets fan, I can't believe I'm saying that, considering we have Jeff Green and Bruce Brown most of the time at center. But, yeah, he's not exactly the most physically built player for the center position. And he is, like you mentioned, getting very much up there in age. So I think he goes. And I think Derrick Rose should stay because he was very good for you guys in the playoffs.
Yeah, good in the playoffs and good since he came from the Pistons to the Knicks. So I think he's really good in that system. He wants to be a New York Knick for as long as he can be. And also he really likes Tom Thibodeau, I believe, as well. So perfect fit. Next, another point guard for the Knicks. This one is a guy who started off well, started off in the top five, and then played in the starting five, and then got sitting, you know, sat out for the rest of the game. And that is Alfred Payton. He has been a question mark for this Knicks team for a little bit now. Averaged about 10 points, you know, per game this season in about 63 games. And I would say get rid of him as quick as possible, actually. Please get him off this team. This player of Alfred Payton, I think he got paid about $5.7 million this year, which is not that much, especially for NBA players these days, but still too much for Alfred Payton. So I'm going to have him go. And since I did 2-1 for the other, you know, two players, I'm going to do 2-1 once again. So Alfred Payton, I say dump him. And then on to the next player, Reggie Bullock. Now, this is an interesting one because Reggie Bullock, you know, he's been okay for Bullock. I'm trying to find him on the – okay, he got paid $4.2 mil this past season. He's 30 years old. I'm going to say to dump him as well. I mean, he is a good little piece there, but I think we can save that money and get some other pieces. So Alfred Payton and Reggie Bullock, dump both of them, I would say. Or what's the game called again? Keep or go? I'm going to say go. I think they're gone.
I'm going to go and go as well. Alfred Payton is just not good enough. And Reggie Bullock, I think there's just better players on the market in free agency that can do what he does just a lot better.
Alec Burks. Now, this is a player, again, another question mark, right? These are some players that aren't the best players for the Knicks, but maybe you keep them. Alec Burks, 29 years old, 6 mil. He was a first-round pick, I think. He was not a first-round pick. He was a signing that we had cap space. Sorry, I'm looking at the other signings and how they worked out, and it's showing Frank Ntilikina, who's right above him, who was signed as a first-round pick. But anyway, he was guaranteed about 6 mil, so I'm guessing he would get signed for a little bit more. I would say keep him. I think he's been a pretty good player for the New York Knicks. I think he averaged about, off the bench, 12, almost 13 points this season. He was about 41% from three. But I don't know. He looked like a pretty good player, and he could have been a sixth man of the year off the bench for the Knicks. So I would say keep him. Nerlens Noel, another player. If we're letting go of Taj Gibson, at that point I say we keep Nerlens Noel. This player of Nerlens Noel, I feel like, is a little bit younger. Yeah, he's 27 years old. We signed him for about $5 million, so maybe it'll be, again, a little bit more. I say we keep him. Those are the final two players I think I have here on the list.
So for me, I think Burks, I think he stays. I think he's a nice piece off the bench. I agree with you. Nerlens Noel, I mean, like you said, unless you guys are planning on signing two big men in free agency or making some sort of trade, I mean, you kind of have no choice but to keep him. So I guess he has to stay as well. But if there was other options that are possible, I don't know exactly what's on the market there. Maybe he's not ideal, but yeah, I'd say keep.
And I'm taking a look. It says here where I'm looking at Basketball Reference that Frank Ntilikina's contract is up. If it is, then I would say we get rid of Frank Ntilikina. Obviously, a first-round draft pick that did not work out. Although on the article that I'm looking at from Elite Sports New York, he was not mentioned in that article of Knicks players that are on the end of their contracts. So do you believe Basketball Reference or Elite Sports New York? I don't know. But if Frank Ntilikina is up there on the board, I say get rid of him as well. Keep some cap space for some players. Let's go on to trivia now. A little bit of a shorter episode. That's how long our episodes are, normally 20 to 30 minutes. So let's get into the trivia now, our final part of this podcast. We do it every episode. I test Alex, since I'm a Knicks fan, on his Nets trivia. And what he can get right and get wrong, and then he tests me on the Knicks. So I will go first, Alex, and this is a hard question. I mentioned it to you before we recorded that it's going to be a hard question. If you didn't know, I'm a New York Islanders fan. I probably didn't know that because I mentioned it. And the Brooklyn Nets actually were once the Long Island Nets, or now the Long Island Nets, or the New York Nets at one point very early, and they played at the Nassau Coliseum, which the Islanders still play in today, which they will move into a new arena next season. That doesn't matter, whatever. So the Nets actually played and shared the Islanders arena, Nassau Coliseum, Alex. So how long were they the New York Nets? Obviously, they were the New Jersey Nets for a long portion before they moved to Brooklyn, but they were the New York Nets as well for some time. I will give you a clue. You can either give me how long, like years-wise, But if you can give me like a, you know, for example, 1986 to 1994, that would be a little bit better. Obviously, completely guessed. To give you some hints, this was it was before the 80s. I'll say that. And then it was 9 years in total.
Okay. You know what's kind of ironic while you're talking about that is obviously the Islanders came and played in Barclays for a little while. So it's kind of ironic there that they both kind of played together in different places. But for years, you said 9 years before 1980. So they started 60. Well, when they were founded, I know you had a question about this, right? Earlier in the podcast. I believe this was actually the first episode. So they started 1967, but I'm not sure if that's New Jersey Nets or just the Nets in general. So I'm going to guess it's the Nets in general because, yeah, that's going to be Mike. So I'm going to say 1967 to 1966. It's 67 or 68. I forgot now. Whatever. Josh, what's the answer?
Well, it's 9 years, right? I said as a hint, it's 9 years. So you're saying 67 to then 76.
Yeah, that's what I guessed.
So one off, Alex. They actually were founded in the ABA in 1967. The New Jersey Americans, they wore white and red uniforms, and they moved to the New York Nets in 1968 and moved to Long Island. And then they were there until 77. They were changing uniforms upon moving to Nassau Coliseum. And then they moved to New Jersey, I believe, in 77. So,
yeah, so I wasn't far off, and I did use the knowledge from the previous question to help answer that question, so that was good. I'm glad with that. I'm reasonably happy with that answer. So for the next question, I'm gonna combine it a little bit. Knicks and Nets here. They're from playoffs from this season. We're discussing Joe Harris and his lack of a three pointers made throughout this playoffs. So I wanted to think about it. Who has the highest 3-point percentage on both teams? So for the Knicks in that series with the Hawks, and obviously the Nets with the Celtics series and the Bucks series. And I wanted to ask you, you do the Knicks first. The Knicks is kind of the trivial part. And then the extra kind of is the bonuses for the Nets one, too. Because I know you watched a lot of Nets as well, and I've watched a decent amount of Knicks. So I thought we could do a little bit of extra.
Okay, wait. So I'm trying to figure this out. So repeat the question again. 3-point percentage, so, we're guessing?
Yeah. Who had the highest 3-point percentage in the playoffs from the Knicks? In the playoffs, that's the key. In the playoffs.
That's interesting. I think it might be Alec Burks, if not Julius Randle. I haven't made my decision yet, Alex. I'm going to give it a second. It wasn't Randle because he shot off. It could have been Derrick Rose for the Knicks. Maybe it was Reggie Bullock as well. I'm just circling through the options here. I'm going to go Reggie Bullock. I think he had the highest 3-point percentage for the Knicks. It's either him or Burks, I think, or Rose. But I'm going to go him or Burks. I'm going to go Reggie Bullock. What do you say? I'm going to guess it. Let's do the Knicks up for once, and then we'll do the Knicks. So go ahead.
We'll go to the Knicks first. So Reggie Bullock, your official guess, was third in 3-point percentage for the Knicks in the playoffs with 34.5%. Alec Burks was fourth with 33.3%. I know you mentioned his name. Emmanuel Quickly came in second place with 36.4% from the three-point line in the playoffs. And at number one, by a huge, a little bit over 10% difference, Derrick Rose was the best three-point shooter for the Knicks in the playoffs with 47.1%. So that's who the answer is. But for the Nets one, same question. Obviously, this one, it's a bit of a longer time period. Who do you think it is?
I think it's KD, but I feel like that's like the obvious answer.
So you're going to guess KD, and obviously I wouldn't have asked the question for the Nets if it wasn't someone a little bit more interesting, right? So it is not Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was tied second with 40.2% from the three-point line, tied with Joe Harris at 40.2. And in first place is Jeff Green with 55.6% playoff three-pointers made. pretty impressive from Jeff Green. It's definitely someone you wouldn't have guessed. That's kind of why I wanted to throw it in there. Kind of a funky little stat. But Jeff Green was the leader in three-pointers made, or three-point percentage. Obviously, he took less three-pointers than players like Kevin Durant and Joe Harris, but he still had the highest percent.
Well, Alex, looking back on it, I think Jeff Green only took, what, like three three-pointers? I don't even think the guy took...
He was 7 for 8 in game 5, so he at least took 8. So Jeff Green... So he took a minimum of 8. So I was thinking, like, there was other players too, like Reggie Perry, I'm not sure if you even know who that is, the second round pick from last year. He only took two threes the entire two play, and he was up there as well. So, but I didn't count him.
Okay, so per game, it says here on Stat Moose, I think it is, three-pointers made per game. Three-pointers attempted, I guess, is the right thing to look at. And that's 3. And he played in 6 games in the playoffs. So that sounds about right. So, you know, average it out, it's about 18. So it's not that bad. Okay, I thought it was because that was attempted, but it was per game. So that's what I had to look at. So anyway,
yeah,
that's going to be it for the podcast. Alex, are you good?
I am good.
Okay, Alex is good. So then, go follow Alex on Twitter at AnOrient23. Go follow me on Twitter at JoshStolo29, and then you can go follow our other podcast at the Giant Take Pod for New York Giants content, and for Chelsea, the football club, you can go follow our other podcast at Talking Blues Pod. Give this podcast a subscribe button, press it, and also give us 5 stars on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or both, or wherever you're able to listen. Really help us out. We thank you so much for listening, and we will see you for episode 5 of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. It will be, I guess... We'll, you know, kind of recap the other basketball stuff that's going on, the games and the conference finals, as Alex mentioned. And we're going to start talking about some draft and free agent stuff because that's the point we're at, Alex. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. And that's how it works with this podcast. And we'll see you next time for the next episode of it.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason, and this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.